you were both overweight and you took the journey together, how did it affect your relationship before and after this transformation period?
Well, before, I was not the nagging wife. His mother nagged him about his weight. So I had seen too many other couples where one would nag the other, and I did not want to be that spouse. I supported him, work, at home, our relationship. There was nothing, you know, we were not apart in any way as a married couple because of our weight. But certainly, when he began the journey, I will say I was scared and whatnot, because we do everything together. I knew I had weight to lose. And so when he made this public declaration, I was scared because I knew I was going to be in putting my weight for the world to see as well. And while I was 188 pounds, I wasn't 300 pounds, 5'7". Anyone that I was friends with on Facebook would see that. And it was intimidating. Yep. But I was not going to be the, you know, everybody knows the cute little pudgy wife of the sexy, hunky husband.
Oh, yeah.
So I was not going to be that. That 63 pounds off Friday, and I did, like you said, 190 days. It also, so as far as our relationship, it only, I mean, has gotten better, and it wasn't bad before, but as the spouse who needed to lose weight on my own, and I did, at bedtime, as the spouse of someone, though, that was obese, I also had the hidden fear of, would he wake up the next morning? Or would he have a heart attack or some godforsaken illness, you know, something happen overnight?
To overcome, you must educate. Educate not only yourself, but educate anyone seeking to learn. We are all dead America. We can all learn something. To learn, we must challenge what we already understand. The way we do that is through conversation. Sometimes we have conversations with others. However, some of the best conversations happen with ourselves. Reach out and challenge yourself. Let's dive in and learn something right now. Today we're speaking with Alan and Angie Thomas. Alan is the founder of Rethink Dieting. Alan, could you please introduce yourselves and let people know just a little more about you, please?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm Alan, and this is Angie. If anybody watching on the video side, we'll be able to figure that out pretty quickly. But we had a kind of a personal journey of where we dropped 192 pounds in 260 days back in 2017. And it came out of me stepping on the scale one morning, March 2nd. It was the day after my our 31st wedding anniversary. And I saw on there 304 pounds. And it was, if the scale had read 299.99999, I would have just said, pass me another cheeseburger. I'd have been okay with it. because it went to that tipping point, it just got my attention. And I spent a lot of years in what's called the senior market insurance, which is people that are predominantly over 65 years of age. And I realized that I had never met a man that was more than 100 pounds overweight that was over 65, and I was 55. And so the reason I'd not met a man that was over 100 pounds overweight at 65 is because most of them are dead. Now, there's a few of those unicorns out there, and we've met a few of them since then, but they are few and far between on the male side. But I also realized it would be that I would be like one of those guys that would be called the first husband, not because Angie was searching around for a new one, as far as I know, but because of the fact that I couldn't put down the fork and spoon. And it was, and that's a big deal, but it's also a big deal with just letting her down, letting our family down, letting our kids down. And then all of the things that I believe I was called to do, I wouldn't get done. And all of those things that I've been putting off because I was too fat, you know, in my mind, it's popular in today's culture to say it's okay, but I've not met many people. I've met really no one that I've ever been on the phone with that struggled with obesity to the level I did, that deep down really thought it was okay. I mean, they might make jokes about it. I made a million of them, Angie will tell you, you name it. I had every joke in the world about being fat. And it was just to hide that struggle. I mean, it was a coping mechanism. And it's not that people are bad because they're obese or overweight. It's the fact that they don't get to live this life to the full. And I'm not talking about from a health perspective. I'm talking about when every time you go into a public setting, into an interaction with somebody, you're wondering, is somebody making a judgment call about me because of my weight? It is number three reason for divorce in the United States, behind infidelity and finance. Yeah, people and we get so many people that tell us, oh, my spouse loves me even though I'm 100 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight or 200 pounds overweight. But what's interesting is we've never had a spouse that was unhappy that their spouse lost the weight either. That's never happened.
Yeah.
And you would think that it would be kind of obvious, but it's not, because we build these coping mechanisms. So, you know, a few years after that journey, we were getting asked to help a lot of people, and we'd help anybody that we could, but we just have this core belief that we're never telling you what to eat, because that is not the problem. That is not the problem. If I've yet to meet an individual that didn't intuitively know what to eat to lose weight, I really didn't. Now, does it mean that education on food, nutrition, exercise is bad? Of course not. But that's never the problem. That's never it. And in fact, we've a client of ours that he's really, really sweet man, and he's a father too. And he was over 450 pounds, and he's the first guy I've ever met that had more than 100 pounds to lose and never been on a diet in his life. Never been on one.
Wow.
And I said to him in our first interaction, you know, I explained I wasn't going to tell him what to eat, but we get the weight off of him. And he said, but what am I going to eat? Now, this guy was in a wheelchair if he had to walk more than 10 feet. And I said, you love your wife and daughters very much, I know. I said, if they were taken hostage and the only way to get them back alive was to lose a pound a week until you reach that ideal weight that you know you were created to be at your current age, I said, could you save their life? And he said, yeah, I think I could. I said, well, what would you do? What would you eat? And he paused for about 30 seconds. And he thought very, and he was really thinking it through, and he gave a real answer. It sounds like a joke when I say it out loud now, but it was a real answer. He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'm going to eat less. I said, and that sounds silly to say it. I mean, it does, but that's how much we get in our own way. We get you got to have the perfect diet. You got to have this. I said, that's where you start. Now, 170, 180 pounds later, he's still going. Okay. Now, did he have to educate himself on himself? Of course he did. But if I say vegan, you want to do carnivore, and I'm not saying you personally, but I'm saying an individual that struggles with weight. If I say vegan, they want to do carnivore. If I say Weight Watchers, they want to do Jenny Craig. Well, not Jenny Craig anymore. But no matter what it is, it's always wrong. We become people who have been on diet after diet after diet become microbiologists when it comes to the diet. And the diet is always the excuse. That was always my excuse. Oh, no, I couldn't stick to that. You know, I like bacon too much. Oh, we can have bacon on this. Well, I still want to have some of this. I want to have, and there's always this excuse, but when you put the responsibility between the elbows of the person that has to do it, then it gets real, real fast. And you figure out real quickly that it was not the diet that was stopping them. And it's really, it's fun to see people who come alive. And because this is the thing that we're after. We want to bring people's life alive. I could care less if somebody eats broccoli or whether they're vegan or whether they're carnivore, whether they eat keto or whether they do this or whether they do that. We want people to come alive. And it was, it's like one of our clients said about a year ago, he's a pastor that was 260 pounds at 5'8". That's morbid obesity, just so y'all know. Even though our culture would not say that it was, but it is. And he wanted to be 170 pounds because that's what he knew he was in college. And he hit that in about 8 months. And there's a video of him jumping out of an airplane because he'd always wanted to jump out of an airplane. Now, I don't want to. I think airplanes are good to land with the wheels on the ground and everything. That's me. But it was so neat. He went to 18,000 feet and jumped out of a plane just so he could kind of get that experience. And he wouldn't have been able to do it. But now here's what's interesting. His church is growing again. His daughters are thriving in school. His marriage was probably good. It's even better now. I mean, he's stepping into other areas of his life that he wasn't taking action in. And all of a sudden you get this momentum in one area called weight, which is super hard to handle. I'm not going to say it's easy. There is no easy path. The easy path is a simple path, but it's not easy. There's no magic pill, but you get momentum there. And it's funny how it's almost the creator of the universe opens up possibilities in other areas that you never would have thought possible.
Yep. So that's a lot to unpack, and it's a great story. You know, I want to go back to the 304 pound days. Mm-hmm. These are obviously days that you never want to return to once you felt the glorification of being alive. So you say it's not about the diet, it's about the decision. I believe that 100%. And you say it well, because a lot of people, they want an excuse to have a donut or whatever, ice cream. You don't need an excuse. You just need to be accountable for what your intake is. And when people start counting these calories, it gets so confusing. I know when my wife and I, we started down that health journey, mm-hmm. and discovering new things and how many people have different diets. And it's really about the intake overall. So what made you focus on that intake in the first place? And did it happen only after the 304 pounds was reached? Or did you think about that many times before and just slough it off because, I'm doing okay?
If I could just say, Ed, there was a point a few years ago, we counted up how many eating plans, diets, books, recipe books, etc. We were over 70. And we had thrown away many. We had a major move to Florida from South Carolina back in 2005. So, yes, yeah. I just had to interject that.
No question. I mean, the answer is, yeah. I mean, I, you know, lost and gained the same 5 pounds 1,000 times. I mean, it wasn't the first day, but it wasn't really, I mean, the intake, it's important. And don't get me wrong. You have to change what you eat to lose weight. There's no way around it. There is no, if you've got an extra 25, 50, 100, 200 pounds that you're trying to lose, you have to change what you eat. But people say, well, how are you able to get people to drop all this weight without telling them what to eat? It's because we teach them not to quit. We quit things before. I mean, we quit marriages too soon. We quit on our kids too soon. We quit on businesses too soon. We quit on a lot of things because we're a microwave society. I mean, we want everything. I want it now. I want it in 30 seconds. Don't make me wait. Could you? And you know, I want the steak rare so I can get it faster or whatever. But at the end of the day, you do have to change it. But what we focus on is thinking. We focus on the thinking because that's what's got to change first. And when I say decision, it's the thinking's got to change. And there's a lot to unpack. And we've seen, And we've seen people who've had, I mean, we've got clients. We had one recently. We did a video with weight loss surgery. Weight loss surgery, it'll take weight off temporarily. You might lose hair. You might lose teeth. You might have all kind of gastrointestinal. There's a ton of side effects for a lot. It's huge. Well, you're taking out a perfectly good organ or altering a perfectly good organ. Okay. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, and they've never had success with it. They found as they're searching for a high fiber diet. I guess they got one with us. They're searching for a high fiber diet and they got it. And it's so interesting. This lady, she's a really neat lady. She struggled her entire life. And all of a sudden, in about 10 weeks, she got 40 pounds gone. But what's different now than it was in the past, she wasn't taking the responsibility of the weight gain and trying to shift it to somebody else, okay? She's taking the personal responsibility for it. And when what we get to what's called the watch me stage, that's what we're looking for our clients to get to. And what that means is when I was on my weight loss journey and Angie was on hers, we actually did it very publicly and not to be braggadocious, but it really adds some fuel to the fire. And I had a lot of people were commenting on it and very positive, but I had some guy who was a fitness guru up in the Carolinas, somehow started following my journey. And he was very negative. He says, there's no way you make your ideal weight by the date you got selected. Now, I believe that Abraham Lincoln said, if you want to, it's better to be silent on social media than to speak up and remove and be thought a fool and remove all the doubt. That I don't think that they're social media then, but they're their own kind, but I butchered that pretty well. But at any rate, so in this instance, I said something to this individual in text form. He said, there's no way for this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. And I had a two-word answer for him. I said, watch me. And he was right. I did not hit it on the date that I projected. I hit it 5 days early. And I don't say that to impress you, because he didn't understand. He'd only been able to experience. And this is what I run to a lot of people. They work with people with weight and they've never personally lived in it. They've never personally lived the journey. And that's really hard. It is. And I respect people. There's people with a lot more knowledge, a lot more skills, a lot more letters behind their name than I have and all that. But at the end of the day, it's like I told a client ours last year that he dropped 75 pounds with. He said, but I don't even know you hardly. And I said, but I know you better than you know yourself. And you already know that, don't you? He said, yeah. And he entered a program, dropped 75, 80 pounds, whatever it was, because it's very difficult to face that demon. It really is. I mean, because you're in a culture, and when we think about it, you know, when we talk about alcoholism, well, that's really bad. And that people know that. And while alcohol, you know, I don't have a problem with somebody having a drink that can handle it, but alcohol is just a big deal. Pornography, really bad, but really out there a lot. Gambling addictions, really bad stuff. These are all classified really bad, and people know positive. Even if you're a cigarette smoker, and I mean, that's, you know, it's really bad. You need to quit smoking. If you're a drug addict, you got to quit that, all those things. But when you talk about obesity, okay, when you talk about obesity and talk about that, it's culturally acceptable. I'd have to add it up real quick, but there's one person dying from an obesity-related illness every 7 seconds worldwide. 650 wow. million adults are obese or morbidly obese worldwide. That's a worldwide number. 4.72 million die a year worldwide from adults. There's 350 million adolescents and kids that are obese or morbidly obese. That's 1 billion of the 8 billion. And it's growing. It looks like our national debt that's growing. There's a counter online that counts. It's amazing. And we're acting like the emperor with no clothes. We're acting like, you know, remember that fable. And we want to act like it really doesn't exist. It's like, if I could just have, you know, maybe a looser fitting outfit or a garment. And we're bright color right now. We usually wear light colors, but the point is, it got down to 50 this week today. But the point being is that we act like it doesn't exist and like we can hide it, and you can't. And I'm not saying this to shame people. I'm saying that to wake them up. Wake up. Wake up. I mean, that's really the message. Just wake up. There's nobody's being fooled by it, if that makes sense.
Well, our culture is drenched with acceptance, you know, and it's not just obesity, it's many other things, and many of them's toxic. But how we got there is through dismissal of what is in front of us. And that avoidance is, you know, sometimes not so obvious to people. And it's 35 million people in the United States are obese. That just blows me away. And that happened pretty rapidly in the U.S. culture, because I remember back in the 70s, pretty much everybody was physical fit, and you know, you saw a few obese people here and there, and they were kind of shamed. And our culture has turned into an acceptance, and I don't want to shame people for who they are or what they are, where they are in their journey, because that doesn't help. But the acceptance of who we are and the love of ourselves for who we are, that really truly matters.
No doubt.
You both, Angie and you were both overweight, and you took the journey together. How did it affect your relationship before and after this transformation period?
Well, before, I was not the nagging wife. His mother nagged him about his weight. So I had seen too many other couples where one would nag the other, and I did not want to be that spouse. I supported him, work, at home, our relationship. There was nothing, you know, we were not apart in any way as a married couple because of our weight. But certainly when he began the journey, I will say I was scared and whatnot, because we do everything together. I knew I had weight to lose. And so when he made this public declaration, I was scared, because I knew I was going to be in putting my weight for the world to see as well. And while I was 188 pounds, I wasn't 300 pounds, 5'7". Anyone that I was friends with on Facebook would see that. And it was intimidating, but I was not going to be the, you know, everybody knows the cute little pudgy wife of the sexy, hunky husband.
Oh, yeah.
So I was not going to be that. That 63 pounds off Friday, and I did. Like you said, 190 days. It also, as far as our relationship, has gotten better, and it wasn't bad before, but as a spouse who needed to lose weight on my own, and I did, at bedtime, as the spouse of someone, though, that was obese, I also had the hidden fear of, would he wake up the next morning, or would he have a heart attack? Or some godforsaken illness, you know, something happened overnight. So as he really got up closer to the larger size, it really started to worry me for that last year, maybe 2 years, about that. I just did what I thought I could do, preparing our meals and so forth, as best I thought I was doing. However, like you said, we have to make our own decisions. So when he was out working, I wasn't with him to say, why are you picking up that? I wasn't his mother. He had free will. And so he made those choices and I did too. We ate to, you know, we still had, we weren't teetotalers, if you will, when it came to just chicken and, like you says, broccoli or whatever. We enjoyed cooking, we enjoyed entertaining, we enjoyed mm-hmm. going out, and we had children still at home. And
the thing too to understand, if I can piggyback on what Angie's saying, is that you know we have this belief that I have to find a way of eating that I can sustain my entire life to lose weight. Okay, a pretty common belief. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It's pure hogwash. Okay, and it's an excuse that I used. It's an excuse that I use, excuse I see people using, because what you do is you learn as you go. When you started, I don't know how many podcast episodes have you done?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you, what, Alan.
A bunch, right? A lot.
Yeah,
clearly. And so do you know more now than you did when you did the first one?
So much more, yes.
Yeah, and it's no different. And it's like with our clients that we work with, we got one of our clients, we call him the apple pie guy. And this is about two years ago. And he came to one of our trainings and he said, "You know what I have for breakfast this morning?" I said, "What'd you have, Chris?" He said, "I had apple pie." I said, "Good for you. You figured it out, didn't you?" And he said, "I did." He said, he said, "I knew it was Easter yesterday." And he kind of walked through. He said, "You mean you're not going to be upset about it?" I said, "No, I'm glad you had it. I mean, I think all food's good at some level. I mean, not to be eaten all at once, of course, but at the end of the day,"
yeah.
I said,
"Yeah.
No, you now have figured out this magical thing called that you have fitted into your eating and you didn't have, there's no suffering involved. There's no guilt and shame involved." He said, "Oh my gosh, this is like the guilt-free diet." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Because there's no condemnation here, man." I said, "You got to learn." I know we had a lady recently kind of had a similar experience. She said, "I had a donut Sunday," and she thought we were going to yell at her or something. I don't yell at people about it. I said, "Good for you." I said, "You didn't eat all dozen either." She said, "No, her husband's really thin," and she dropped 60, 70 pounds, whatever, over about 12 weeks with us. It was so interesting. She said, "No," and she said, "I realized I could have one and it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't the end of the world. And it wasn't something that I have to do without for the rest of my life." I said, "That's exactly right. But you're deciding what you want most." And that's what you have to decide. It's like eating is a lot like time. Okay. You can't, we all get 24 hours, man. We all do. I mean, that's all we get. And when each day, 168 hours each week, and you have to decide how you're going to spend that time. And the challenge I would say to people that might be listening to this and might struggle is what would you like to have done 30 days ago? If you could go back 30 days and recreate the last 30 days with your time, with your eating, maybe. With your exercise, maybe. I mean, I'm a believer exercise is good. You know, it's going to burn a little bit extra, but the fork's way faster than any running you can do. It'll outrun it. The fork will beat the exercise every time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, but what are you doing if you could go back? And you can't. I mean, we can't do this. It's a little bit like the tree story. You know, it's like with the proverb that says the best day to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best day to plant a tree is today. And so it's very similar. And if you start looking at it that way and say, you might not get a second chance. I mean, I've talked to people that have had 30, 40 pounds lose, that had no medical conditions, they were thinking of and they were thinking about doing our program. We don't invite everybody in our program. This individual I did, and this one really changed the way I looked at things. And he had no medical history of any kind of problems, not even having high cholesterol. And one of our team members did a follow-up call with him, and he was dead 2 months later. 2 months later, dead from a heart attack. It was his widow. And I don't know if it would have. Yeah, you don't know when it's coming. There's nobody sitting at. There's nobody in the emergency room. They don't make reservations a month in advance for emergency rooms.
That's
and,
right.
And the reason is they're surprised. And half of the people that have a heart attack die. Half of the people that have them die. It's just a statistic. And so you may not get another shot. You may not. So take action now. You're not going to get the time back. You're not going to. And it really is kind of interesting how people, when they start realizing how simple it is, they start making the decisions that we help people in our process, that we train them how to do, they realize that they could have always done it. So one of the biggest things that we guard against is that people not beat themselves up for not figuring it out 20 years ago. Because you know, there's no reason to. It's like one of our clients right now is down, I don't know, 30, 40 pounds, and he's all kind of success in his life, but this one area has kicked him, one area has beat him until now. And he's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how simple this was. But at the end of the day, there's something waiting for you out in the future. That if you don't get that weight off, you may not get a shot at it.
That's right. I'm about to turn 58 myself, and I believe it was when I was 52, I went through that heart attack scare, and you know, the little dynamite pills for slapping them under your tongue, you know, that really wakes you up right there. And I had the same awakening about, wow, my wife, you know, what about, we've been together 40 years and what would she do without me? And, you know, that second husband thing kind of sucks, doesn't it? So yeah. Angie, that's interesting because a lot of the times we as husbands don't think too much about that until sometimes it's gone too far, and then it's even harder to reel it in. So, you know, having somebody there alongside you, holding you accountable for you want to do this or you don't want to do this, that really matters. And the success rate without partnership, I don't think it's too successful because they don't have a lot of accountability behind them. I wonder how much. Go ahead, Alan.
No. I agree with you completely. I mean, we're a big believer in what we call extreme accountability. And so which, you know, you may have a spouse who's not going to go along with it. You may have, but at the end of the day, it still is your responsibility. It still is. And here's what's interesting. Like go ahead. You can
talk. Well, Sean.
We
were on a call with one of our
alumni,
and he was like, honey, come over and meet Angie and Alan. And we had not met his wife, and he's lost quite an amount of weight.
Almost 200 pounds. Yeah.
And his wife has lost about 100 pounds, and we didn't even know over the time that he's been on his journey.
More is caught. And that's the thing. I would say to people, you know, it's like Angie was not obese. She was like 2 pounds away from being obese at 5'7". But it was, she was not at where she really wanted to be. But because, you know, me, you know, if I got mine in line, it was kind of interesting how she got hers in line, and we both have, you know, we're blessed with amazing health. We're not on any medications for anything. And but at the end of the day,
congratulations.
It is about the decision, because somebody's got to stand up and lead. It's kind of like in a relationship, and we've been married for 37 years. So I guess we are relationship experts, but not about other people's relationships, but I've heard, we know relationship coaches, and they say if they can get one of the two people involved to stand up and take a stand, a marriage can be saved a lot of times. Okay. And so I've never really thought about this from our perspective, but you're asking about the combination has kind of brought it out. I was great question, but I really, and that's the same way with weight. It is easier if both are on the same page. It is easier if everybody's fighting for the same goal. But if you got one who stands up and say, I'm not going to tolerate this crap anymore. I'm not going to tolerate it in myself. I'm not talking about the other person. It's not, if I'm sitting there and if she's beating me over the head, I'm resisting. But if she just leads or I lead, well, I don't want to get left behind. And then you start making action. Yep. It really is interesting. So the accountability does happen kind of on its own sometimes. So, and we see that a lot because but you've got to draw the line in the sand. And I say you, I'm talking about an individual who struggles with their weight. Yep. They've got to draw that line in the sand and say, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of going into an airport and having to worry about about being that person sitting on the airplane and people dreading to sit beside me. I'm sick and tired of wondering if I didn't get a promotion because of my obesity. I'm sick and tired of going to the theme park, not wanting to get on a ride because I don't fit in there and I don't want to be embarrassed in front of 100 kids and everybody laugh at me. I'm sick and tired of on and on and on and on. They got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired and draw the line in the sand. And if everybody in your family is obese, okay, and you draw the line in the sand and you say, I'm not taking it anymore. And this is possible. Okay. It's not easy this way, but it's possible. I'll be shocked if other people in the family don't start losing weight. We have seen it over. Yep. And here's the other thing that's crazy. Now, this is what we kind of live for. It's all the other stuff that happens. It's like one of our clients, this is from almost 4 years ago or so. His sister, she struggled with stuttering and stammering her whole life. And because he faced his weight really boldly, he was down at 60, 70 pounds. And he sends me this video of her doing this Bible study. I didn't know she struggled with stuttering. I said, well, I said, is that your sister? Oh, great. I mean, I guess you thought I want a Bible verse or something for the day is what I was thinking. He said, no, you don't understand. He stuttered her whole life. Because I lost this weight, my sister has now faced her stuttering boldly like I faced my weight. And we had another client, their nephew became this leader on this college campus about pornography. He even had his father of his girlfriend holding him accountable about his pornography addiction. And they said, and so people see change. Plus we've seen countless people, family members who've lost weight too. So it's like the world is waiting for somebody to stand up and take a stand. Are you going to be that person? And what our mission is, I mean, I can't get to everybody. Angie can't get to everybody. But I believe that we're here for a reason. I don't believe it's just a microwave popcorn and sit in front of TV and watch Netflix till we can't breathe. Nothing wrong with some of both, nothing wrong. But at the end of the day, there's things for us to do. It will never get done. And I won't preach to people, but we're believers, we're Christians, and we're not perfect by any means. But I believe that there's a God in heaven that loves us more than we know. And he didn't put us on earth to be obese and morbidly obese and have literally our whole reason for being here stolen from us because we want another bowl of stew. And that's where the enemy's winning, and it breaks our heart. And when you see, I mean, we can go on and on. I won't belabor it, but at the end of the day, you're this close. I don't care if you weigh 500 pounds. I don't care if you weigh 600 pounds. You're this close to the decision. It doesn't mean you're going to get out of obesity in 30 minutes. Okay. You might have a long journey. It might be a hard journey. And I tell people, I said, this is no joke. I mean, I've had rocket scientists that literally rocket scientists. And I tell them, I said, this is no joke. You got weight to lose. It is no joke. You it's not going to be a snap of finger, push a button and done. This is going to be a battle. And we show you how to get through the battle so that you come. It's like, in fact, one of our clients just wrote a book and he sent me a, and I'm not saying this to boast, but it was interesting. The battle thing came to my mind because it really touched me what he said. And it said, what was it? Hang on. Give me a second. It was so interesting because I'd never heard him say it. And he lost quite a bit of, he said, in the book, it was, I came to you with my problem and you gave me a sword to fight with or something like that. I get the exact quote, but that's really all it takes. And you got it within your two elbows already. Everybody does. We're not people who are given this. God's not a sadistic God. He didn't intend to put this. If you have a desire to lose weight, there's a reason. Okay. And I would question, yeah, I came to you with my problem. You saw my gift and you gave me a sword. There you go. That's what he said, not what I said. That was a preface in the book that he wrote, but or acknowledgments. And because when people think about the diet industry, I mean, when they start talking to me about how many calories, how many carbs, how many macros, my eyes glaze over. I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay. Yeah. Now, do you have to have that data to lose weight? Yeah, you absolutely do. Okay. Absolutely. Can't ignore. But what I get excited about is when somebody calls me from New York with a company that has 40,000 employees and a very, very humble, meek individual who's in operations, goes on a really bold journey, and he says, Alan, he says, my CEO was just talking about you from stage. I said, me? I don't know who your CEO. I mean, why would he talk about me? I hope he didn't say anything bad. Or something like that. But they go like, but the worldwide company. And he said, no, you don't understand. I just won the International Sales Award. I said, International Sales Award? When did you change departments? This guy's been in operations for years. So that's the point. I didn't change departments. I'm still in operations. I'm the first guy or first person ever to get the International Sales Award. And it came out of my weight loss journey. People got attracted to what was going on. And it drew in a client that ended up doing a massive amount of business with this corporation. Because here's the deal. Your weight is a gift. Okay. Now you can be a drug addict. You can be this. You can be this. You can be this. You can be this. And nobody sees it. Okay. Now there's signs, obviously, but they can't pick you out of the lineup. But you, I just had this happen recently where somebody was a conversation about this, where somebody was asking me to reach out to somebody, but didn't want to be too obvious because you're morbidly obese. Personally, you can't hide it unless you're sitting in the dark room all the time. You can't hide it.
Yes.
But people, one of the things we do is we attack that shame immediately in our process because there's no shame in it. Okay. It's a gift. And it's like one of our clients who's 72, he came to us and he calls me the lunatic because at 72, he's one of these unicorns. He was 388 pounds at age 70. At age 70, he's 72 now. At age 70, 388.
Wow.
That's a big boy. That's a unicorn. There aren't many of those walking around alive because they're usually dead. He is a heart attack survivor too. Oh, by the way, he walks with a walker. He has a whole fused vertebrae. So all his exercise is off the table. That's not an option for him, basically, except small things. And I said to him, I said, now we'll get this weight off you. And he says, how can you say that? I failed for 50 years. I said, because I know stuff you don't know. And he said, I said, but I want you to take a snapshot right now because you don't have any. You should take a picture of yourself. I said, because you're going to wish you had it. He said, I don't like pictures of me. I said, I understand, but you're going to wish you had it. And he posted that picture a while back. It was funny. He said, the lunatic named Alan, that's me. He said, maybe, and he doesn't look like the same. He's down about 140 pounds and still going. But it's interesting. He got his life back. I want him to be healthy. I want him to live to 100. But the people that, these are good people. These are people that the world needs more of. These are people that were in the live America, okay? They were in the America that, you know, when you talk, they're the salier people. They're the people that 100 years ago wouldn't have been fat, but they are now, okay? And they're running from it out of shame and desperation all because they don't think there's a chance for them. And there is, and it's not in the next diet. Do you have to change what you eat? Of course you do. Be real. You have to do some exercise. Well, I'd like you to if you're physically able, but some people like the guy we talked about, like Rick, we talked about, he couldn't. But we've seen people come out of wheelchairs. We've seen people lose weight that walkers. We've seen people that had their eyesight got better, which is, I don't think is medically possible. It's retinopathy to be improved and all because they dropped so much weight because there's this life waiting for you right now that you won't get unless you put down the fork. So put down the fork, step away from it. It's not going to kill you. You don't have to stop eating. It doesn't mean that you have to do without everything forever. But for a season, you may have to make changes, and you're going to learn just like you learned with podcasting. The person who struggles with obesity says they don't know what to eat. Bull, they do. I don't believe them. I never believe them. Never had it. Never seen it. Never. But at the end of the day, they've got to start becoming an expert on themselves and take personal. Now, this is a really weird phrase. And a lot of people don't even know what it means anymore. They've got to take personal responsibility for it.
What?
That's true. It's hard. You don't even hear it. But it's the same thing. I mean, it's no different. And but here's the other piece to that. You can't hide it. That guy who called me the lunatic because I wanted to take this picture, he couldn't hide his weight. But guess what? He can't hide that it's come off either. And guess what? There's somebody out there with a challenge that might look like a James Bond model, a man, a woman, whatever. But they can hide their problem. And they see somebody obese or overweight or morbidly obese drop weight. Then all of a sudden, they get this unique thing that they can't get any other way. And it's called hope. And when they get hope because of somebody like the guy I was talking about, Rick, the guy's 72 years old, has dropped over 140 pounds, still going. Okay. When they get hope, what do you think the chances of Rick going to adding his weight back on now? Like zero?
That's awesome. Yeah.
He's got a different identity now. He always had it, but he just didn't know it. He realized it. It's like waking up and finding out you're the king of Egypt or whatever. So
yeah, that shame, guilt, it really holds you back in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So what is the best part other than life itself? What is the best part of recovering from obesity?
I mean, it's life itself. I mean, realizing that you likely, and I've never seen a definitive study on this, but enough of it. Basically, there was a European study a few years ago I found. I can't quote it exactly, but I've seen a few like this where they equate about for every pound that you, or every kilogram, which is 2.2 pounds, or so every kilogram is worth about 2 months of life. That would mean every pound's worth a month of life.
Wow.
I haven't seen many studies on that. I search for this all the time. But what if you added 2 weeks of life? What if it's half wrong? With every pound that goes away, you add, and what if you added some life to your years too that you're adding and all those?
Because for us, we live on Amelia Island, beautiful mouth from the Atlantic Ocean. We have a state park. And mm-hmm. with our journey, when we were beginning, we were looking for something to do outside. Alan had begun biking and I joined him. And we started out with just a mile or two. Now we're up to over 15, but the majority of it's in a beautiful state park. And that's not to brag. It's just that we enjoy it. And so many days we're seeing deer.
And you know, the real bikers heard 50 miles and they just laugh.
I know. Well,
say, you know,
it's not professional. We're professional.
But we do it because it's fun. Yeah, we do it because we like it.
We're not wearing the fancy clothes, but we enjoy. And part of it is, yes, we're out in nature. We're seeing the ocean, the birds, the turtles, the deer. And 7 years ago, we were in the house. We weren't doing any of that. We've enjoyed seeing so much of our creation that we were missing.
Yeah.
Because we weren't able to. I mean, yeah, we could have been in a car and ridden through, but it's very different when you're actually on a bike and the deer actually is running in front of you.
Almost hit one today on my bike. Like, oh. So.
And that's happened frequently, that they're very close. We can almost touch them. And I don't think I expected that type of benefit, because it really is. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to do that and enjoy it.
Yes. I live out here in the wilderness, like Crater Lake, Oregon, and just being out away from it all, it's healing in itself. So that nature, it can really change you if you're in tune and pay attention to it.
We enjoy that.
So do you have a call to action for our people today?
We do. We actually have a training that if they'll go to transformmyfuture.com/EW, for Ed Waters. We create it especially for your audience. Okay. They go to that training, and it's five-step strategy that Angie and I use to lose 192 pounds in 260 days and how we show our clients to that. Even if they travel, even if they, we've had people, we've had airline pilots that have lost weight with us. We've had people that have never been able to lose weight that lost weight with us, and people that all these things that matter. And they watch it. It's a totally free training, and it's real. We've literally had people contact us. They dropped 20 pounds, 30 pounds, just because they followed what we said to do in it. And that training is really nothing to buy on it, but it's a legitimate training. In fact, probably the most impactful one was a lady that was watching it for her husband, and she figured out she was having a heart attack in the middle, and because she watched the training, and she sent us an email on Mother's Day. And then she was a client. She was from the hospital, from ICU. She said, thank you for your training. You saved my life. I'm like, what? I mean, I said, you never know, because I'm not a doctor. Listen, I'm not a doctor. Angie's not a doctor. We're not nutritionists. We're not dietitians. We're not physical fitness experts. We're just people that's failed miserably and know the way out. We know the way out. Yep. And we share it in that training. So if they go to transformmyfuture.com/EW, they can get that free training. And then if they want to contact us any further, they can just go to Transform My Future. There's all kind of stuff on there. I'm happy to help. So.
Well, when you're deep in the stuff, it's way better to have somebody that's been there and climbed out to coach on the way out. So it's exciting what you're doing, and so needed in our world because of the obesity structured within our society anymore. Yeah. And I want to say thank you for sharing that with us. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
They go to that transformmyfuture.com, and there's contact information in there where they can link up with us. Easiest way, if somebody's really wanting to have a conversation, they can go to transformmyfuture.com/apply, and they can schedule. We do a free breakthrough session with people. There's nowhere on our site where people can buy our program. And the reason for that is because, listen, we got to know that somebody, how bad their problem with weight really is, because a lot of people are happy where they're on. We don't beat people up for being that. I mean, we want them to be healthy and all, but listen, we don't believe in pushing rope uphill, but we got to know. But that call, on that breakthrough call, we get really clear on how bad your problem with weight is, how committed you are to really solve it. Is it something you got to do, or is it just something you hope to do one day and still, you know, continuing the same behavior along the way? You got to make changes. And then if we believe that we can help, and, you know, those people, we invite in a certain number of people into that, but they can reach out to us that way. But Transform My Future, they see a lot of our client stories on there too, and more than happy to speak to any of your guests, or your listeners, I should say, or guests for that matter.
That's an interesting business model. You know, most people have the 1995 straight up front. That's unique. So congratulations on that.
Well, it's like me, if I don't think somebody's ready, and we're pretty good at identifying that. It's just like the guy, and I use that guy, that 70-year-old guy who failed for 50 years, and we know what to look for. And he's like, how can you, I mean, I was 100% confident we'd get him there. And he's like, how do you know? I said, oh, we know. And because there are things that we look for that we've learned after doing this for a long time and helping a lot of people. But you got to be ready. You got to be ready. I get, there's a lot of people who they just want the magic pill. If you're looking for that, hey, in fact, I will tell your listeners, if they find any magic pills, the ones that are, you know, really the magic ones, because there haven't been any invented that don't have massive side effects and all these things, they'll find out that they kill them one way or another. Yeah, but if they can send me a box of them, I'll pay them double for the magic pills. But we would love to find that too. But because this obesity thing, it's real, but it's generally something underlying, and we dig into that and how we can help them out of it. Because the biggest thing I would say to people, be hopeful, be encouraged. There's a way out. Yes. If you fail forever at it, you don't think it's possible, I say, you're wrong. There's a way. Always a way.
Yeah. I believe that. It's nice for you to be out there doing that. And, you know, if we just start doing it, people mimic it, like you stated earlier in the conversation. I believe that 100%. The world will change if you keep doing that head on, straight up, and truth. You have to be truthful with yourself, and absolutely, everything will come right together. Definitely. Alan and Angie, thank you both for being here, part of the Dead America podcast. We've enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you for having us, Ed.
Thank you for joining us today. If you found this podcast enlightening, entertaining, educational in any way, please share, like, subscribe, and join us right back here next week for another great episode of Dead America Podcast. I'm Ed Waters, your host. Enjoy your afternoon, wherever you may be.